Blog Talk Radio.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
About the spiritual principles of life. Before I get started, I want to give a shout out to eWater Radio. Thank you, Ed, for giving me this platform. I really appreciate it. I also want to give a shout out to all of my friends. A special shout out today to Harry Lyles and Urban Insight. Everybody go to urbaninsight.com and check them out. They are a platform for the music industry, the PDs around the world, around the country, and it's where you can get all of good information regarding the entertainment industry, music artists, and I am so blessed to have them featuring me this month on Urban Insight. I'm just blessed, so I had to really say that. Also, I want to remind you that I have two YouTube pages, Queen Teresa King and also Teresa King Speaks. Go there. I have a few things there for you to look at now, but I'm going to be putting up more things in the future, in the near future, and I would like you to go there, like, subscribe, share, help promote a sister, okay? I am trying to get out here not as hard as I need to be, so I also need your prayers that I get the motivation that I need, the stimulation, the inspiration, everything that it takes to get this job done, because it takes a lot to get this done. So I am hoping and praying that I can get your prayers and get you all, get your support. I really, really need your support. Life is ministry, and that's what I really wanted to focus on today. I know a whole lot of stuff is going on out there in the world, and a lot of people are talking about all of the things that's happening with the politics of life or the politrics of life. It depends on how you want to look at that. It's not good, you know, it's not good, but at the same time, all things work together for our good. And that is something that, can somebody just say all things work together? Because one thing we have to realize, a lot of times we go through bad situations and bad experiences, and we think it's so hard and it's so bad, and the calamities of life and the things that come against us that we have no control over, our adversaries or the adversities of life, they come upon us, and then we seem to fall apart as if God is not aware of all of the things that we're going through and all of the things that we're dealing with. Of course, God is aware because he is in control of every aspect of life and also every process of living this life. And that's something that we need to know about the processes of life and the patience that we need to have to go through the processes of life. Because a lot of times patience is a problem. that patience is the problem. You know, we don't want to wait for God. We don't want to wait for things. We want everything to happen quick, fast, in a hurry, and want it right then, want it now, and not knowing that some things we can't get it because we're not ready for it. God is not going to give you something that you cannot handle. Just forget that. You can forget it now. If it's something that you can't handle, God ain't going to give it to you. And he said he would not give you more than you can bear. So sometimes we have to watch that we don't pick up on stuff that God is not trying to give us at the same time. You know, he will never give us more than what we could bear. So if it's something that is coming from God, then, of course, it's something that we can bear. You know, the bottom line, if God is giving it to us, then it's something that we can handle. We may not want to handle it, but at the same time, if he's giving it to us, then it's something that we can handle. Now, a lot of times we think we cannot handle it. That goes back to our thought process and how we think, what goes into our mind. The transformation of the mind process is something that is something that we should be practicing daily in life, because we're thinking from the time we get up to the time we sleep. And if we're not practicing those principles of transforming our mind, we could easily slide into depression. We can slide into hopelessness. We can slide into stuff that's just going to mess us up because we're not practicing the transformation principle. Because if you practice that, you will realize every time you think about something negative or think of something that is on a low vibration, you will automatically dismiss it. You will erase it from your life. You will erase it from your thoughts. You will erase it from your way of thinking. So when you think of something negative that's maybe I can't do this, or I just have to speak for my own personal life. For me, I tend to beat up on myself a lot. And I'm always angry with myself because I feel like I can do more than what it is that I'm doing. But at the same time, the people who are close to me are always telling me that I'm doing too much, I'm doing a lot, or I need to take a break, I need to. And really, I think in me, I have a little workaholic kind of thing going on, but I'm always telling myself I'm not doing enough. And the Holy Spirit has let me know that once I started checking that thought and realizing and comparing it to what I'm actually doing, I am really doing more than the average person. So I need to stop those negative thoughts of beating up on myself, because that's just a spirit. Everything is spiritual, you know. And keep in mind that the spiritual forces in the world don't want us to accomplish anything. Anything. They want us to be stuck on TikTok and TikTok or whatever, tic-tac-toe. They want you to be doing anything but focusing on operating at a high vibration. And to operate on a high vibration, it takes practicing spiritual principles. Now, for me, my personal life, I love to focus on the spiritual principles of love, is what I call them. They're really the fruits of the Spirit. And you know, fruit is something that's usually sweet, you know, and so I love the sweetness of the fruits of the Spirit, because once you master them, you master life. You know, once you master the fruits of the Spirit, you master life. You know, but in order to understand the fruits of the Spirit, you really have to understand or have a great understanding of God. And I noticed that even the Christian community, even though we've been practicing in my personal life, I've been in the church all my life, born in the pulpit. Godfather was the pastor of the church. And I know a lot of people are curious about me because I don't share life from the standpoint of the things that I do as much as the walk that I'm walking, because it's a spiritual walk of life. And you can do anything, you can manifest anything, you can manifest, your faith can do anything but fail you. You know what I'm saying? If you recognize it for what it is, remember it's your proof. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Substance is something that is tangible, that's something that you make something out of. You know, the substance of me, what I'm made out of, or even the substance of this computer or whatever it is. Substance of things that you hope for. So the things that you're hoping for that you have not seen it, I mean it hasn't been manifested yet. You know, the things that you're hoping for, your faith is that substance. So, and the evidence, like you go to court, the evidence is your proof. It's your evidence, it's your proof of the things you don't see. When you realize that, you will not let anything stop you from manifesting that which you don't see, because you will believe in it so much that it will have to manifest itself. But in this, at the same time, there's no doubt, and then you have to practice spiritual principles, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, which means one scripture, there's other scriptures in the Bible that connects to, and you have to learn. And all of the, when they created the Bible, and I can give you the history of that. I don't know if that's necessary or even relevant for life right now at this point in life, because I believe personally that we are in revelation times, and what everybody's been looking for and expecting to happen is more of a spiritual thing than it is a physical thing. And everybody's looking for physical, but they don't pay attention that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a spiritual walk, and God don't only, he don't care about our flesh. Our flesh is a mess. And I have friends that I am totally direct and serious with on conversations about this issue, that they tell me, please don't say that in public. You know what I'm saying? But if you really want to know my take on it, one day we're going to start a Patreon account and be able to talk about all kinds of things, to where it will be like no limits in the conversation, because I think we've been limited in our thinking and in the way we operate, because the Word of God has been manipulated so much over the centuries, and it's been designed to guide our thinking in a certain direction. And so if you don't keep it spiritual and keep the flesh out of it, you will be a mess, period. You got to really take that flesh out of that thing and keep it with spirit. And remember what Paul said in Romans 7, I think it was at the end of Romans 7, I believe it is, where he talks about how he finds that the things that he would do, that the things that he always thought he should be doing, know he should do, the right thing to do, he found himself always doing the wrong thing instead, and vice versa. But at the end of that, he said the thing that he found is with his spirit he served God, but with his flesh he served Satan, or evil. I can't remember the exact script of the word he uses. Evil, period. Wickedness. That's what the flesh does. And people get all, behind the flesh. Don't let the flesh stress you out, because we cannot judge people according to the flesh. You have to judge people according to their spirit. And that's where we need to be as it relates to God and our walk with God and the way we live in our lives, period. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, looking at the fruits of the spirit, they're mentioned a couple of times in the Bible. Now, I'm not somebody, if I got to do this, God, I'm going to have to roll like I roll for life. I have studied many, if not most or all, of the books of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I have found so much truth, so much, for example, for me, right, in the Apocalypse of Peter, we have in the Bible the book of Peter, which is like five, first and second Peter, I can't remember, five books all total together. But in the Apocalypse of Peter has 17 chapters. And it's much more extensive than what we got in the Bible, but it reads the same writer, you know, just more information. So I know and I believe without a doubt that the Bible as we have it, whoever put that scripture at the Bible about not changing any of it was trying to control us. And so I'm not one, because of my childhood, I was forced at a young age to see God differently than everybody else did. So I was determined to live a certain way as I came up in life. And so that's the way I've lived. And my whole life has been about serving God, taking care of his people, because I believe the Christ consciousness is the way that we should have been walking from day one, everybody. But a lot of people in the church has not taught Christ consciousness. But God is forcing Christ consciousness on us at this point. So a lot of people are going to either get it or not get it. And it doesn't matter if you call them Christ or Yeshua Jesus or whatever. That's a name. And I know that the name is important, but the spirit and the power behind the name or in the name is what we need to really focus on. Remember, everything is spiritual. Ain't no telling how many languages you can say the name Jesus in, and the average person would not recognize what they're saying because we don't know that's the way they say it. So remember, you're always back to spirit. Now, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the way we communicate with God. So now, as it relates to our personal life and the spiritual principles, the first one that we recognize is patience. I think that's a good thing because I think you're going to need patience to be able to do any of the other ones. You know what I'm saying? And they sound easy. It sounds easy to be able to have patience, be meek, temperance, endure, speak truth, forgive, all of the different spirits, fruits of spirits that there are. But each one of these take a lot of work, and God will test you through life in each one of these to help you with your spiritual growth and reach your destiny. Remember, all things work together, good and bad. Regardless, it's working together for your good. So all things, good and bad, are working together. You will not be able to get somewhere if you don't go through some bad experience. Anybody that done lived a life and they have had good experiences all their life, they are lying. And guess what? If they have had good experiences all their life, test them and see how spiritually sound they are. A lot of people are narrow in their mind, narrow in their thinking, just because they don't have that place of spiritual of soundness. So anyway, patience is a virtue, they say, right? Patience is the first spiritual principle. Depends on which scripture or which Bible you are reading. I don't know why I didn't even pull it up on my computer. The word starts with a U, and somebody knows it. Type it in, and if anybody want to talk, type in the last four of your phone numbers in the little area there where you can type it in the chat. Type in your phone number so you can come in and join me, because you're more than welcome to come in. And it's not, it doesn't start with a U, it starts with an L. It's called long-suffering. Depends on which Bible you read, the scripture is going to say long-suffering or it's going to say patience. Both of them are supposed to be meaning the same thing, even though long-suffering for me takes on a whole nother face, because sometimes with patience you have to suffer. It's okay to be patient and be smiling and be beautiful and sweet and nice while you're being patient. And it's very possible to enjoy the patience process where you're patient with joy, you know. But there are some situations that you will face where you have to be patient and suffer during your patient time of patience. I can only go back to my life. I don't really share my life too much with these personal situations, but people who know me closely know that I have a friend of mine who is a mother friend, spiritual mother friend of close to 40 years. She was the mother over at Snoop Dogg's family church, and she also was my mother friend since I was in my 20s. And she, before she lost her memory, she put herself in my care and told me to let her die in her apartment and, you know, allow her to, you know, go through this process with her. And, you know, that, you know, she didn't understand to what extent she would be deteriorating. And I had to have the patience, once I agreed to do it, to stand by her and stand with her regardless of what she go through or what she does. Now, my friends tell me a lot of times the things that we endure together, the things that we endure together will, my sight went somewhere else for a second. But she can test me, okay? And the things that we're doing together, my friends tell me they would have left it alone a long time ago. That's what I was thinking. They would have left it alone a long time ago because at some point, you know, I had to do everything for her, you know, and now I'm doing it with joy. But every now and then, you know, when she's coming in and waking me up to ask me if I'm doing okay, or she's asking me what time, you know, when is the next bus stop, when is she getting off the bus, you know, those kinds of things, it's like, what in the world, you know, and you're breaking your sleep and stuff like that. So just to have the patience to not get upset about stuff. But now when you're dealing with relationships and intimacy and stuff like that, getting to know people and getting to build relationships, even in your family, it doesn't matter what level of relationship you're in, that patience is necessary for life. It is major, 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 and it's something that you cannot do without if you're going to make it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell everybody, if you don't do anything, write down this. Your first spiritual principle of today is to be patient with yourself first, you know, because a lot of times we fall short. And I'm talking to those who are in the procrastination mode. We go through it. Everybody go through that procrastination mode. You know, all you have to do is put principles in place for yourself. And you, certain things you have to say I'm going to do and just do it. And that means if it's just a count to three and get up. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make up my mind. And then, more than anything, that stuff used to work for me. Let me tell you where I am today, because I must be grown to be able to get on here to share anything with my personal spiritual walk. In the science community, science and religion is more alike than it is not. And there are some things that you can use from the science community that is spiritual in nature that will make your body, mood, and people will tell you, oh, that's witchcraft, oh, that's this, or oh, that's that, or there's something behind that. Well, I tell you this. I use HZ frequencies. It's a sound that you can find on YouTube, and they're different frequencies. All it is sound. I used to play the money sound all the time. I ain't played it in so long because my money started flowing. You know what I'm saying? But I used to play the money sound, and when you listen to it, it sounds like when the window is open in your car, you're driving with your windows open, and I mean with your windows closed and one window open in the back seat, and it is that like that. That's the sound it is. But I tell you that, go to sleep and listen to that AZ frequency for money and see, won't God put something in your spirit to manifest some money. Okay, I don't care what y'all say about me. I'm doing it the way God gave it to me, so I'm going to share that with you. I don't want to get stuck on that because I'm going to come back and do a whole show on God being energy, frequency, and vibration, and let y'all see how when God manifested, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all at the same time as it been manifested in the flesh. And all of that was an energetic process. That was vibrations. That was energy. That was frequency. And the church don't teach it, but I'm going to get it to you. So I'll break that down on the next one, okay? I'm understanding God satisfying men. That's going to be the next week. But I don't want to take up because I see my time. I'm almost a half hour in, and I'm only at patience. Patience and long-suffering. I'm going to break them down and try and do them faster, and then another time come back and maybe expound on them a little bit more. Meekness. Meekness is something that people will try and look at as you are a weak person, you are a scary person, or you're gullible, or you're easy to be, you know, knocked off, ripped off, or you're just too soft in your disposition. But that's not what really the kind of godly meekness God is talking about, because I see strength in being meek. When you can choose to be meek, there's strength in that, because a lot of times we naturally can be boastful or broad in our disposition as to knowing and our confidence and knowing who we are and how we are and what we can do and that kind of stuff. I know that I am. I'm going to stick with me, because in private with my friends and when I'm around my friends and people who know my team, who know me, they know my level of confidence. And my level of confidence around them is through the roof. I think I can shoot off into 100 billion galaxies away from here, which I do believe that, all right, in the spirit, y'all. Okay, but, when it comes down to operating in God's kingdom and operating and dealing with his people, we cannot be walking around with an arrogant disposition. At some points it's necessary. Don't get me wrong. When you're dealing with this entertainment industry and you're dealing with some people who walk from more of a narrow-minded position, they're attracted to arrogance, a level of arrogance. They're attracted to that. So if you don't have, like, some Kevin Hart in you, you know what I'm saying, or Tiffany Haddish, she ready? You know, you got to get a little cocky every now and then, that kind of thing, in order to get the attention that you need to make the point or get where you're trying to go. But as it relates to operating in the kingdom of God, and when you're trying to win people over, you're trying to guide people, you're trying to instruct people, or you want to enhance people's lives in some way where you want to help them get to a certain level, you cannot do that from a boastful position. So meekness is something that's necessary when operating in life and trying to change the life of other, the lives of others. So I look at meekness as a tool to help when interacting with other people. So I won't, and I have to remind myself to keep a meek or humble, in some words, depends on where you're reading, some would call it. But meekness is a necessity for life, okay? Now, I'm going to, let's talk about kindness. I'm going to talk about kindness before I move on, because I want to go into forgiveness. So I did patience, and just know that, and I did patience, then I did meekness. Okay, meekness is not weakness now, y'all remember that. Meekness is also a sign of strength. If you're able to be meek in your disposition especially before God. Just know their strength and meekness. I wanted to touch on kindness, okay? Because kindness, man, everybody say, oh, you're so kind, you're so kind all the time, you're so kind. Kindness is something that you have to do with intention, okay? And God wants us to do it with intention because people pass each other every day and don't speak to each other, especially I'm in California. I know some of you all may be from out of the state, but I'm from California, and I noticed when I moved here, the people were not very friendly, and I'm from Louisiana, and in Louisiana, you go there to visit, and you sitting on the porch, everybody that passed by, is they going to wave out the window, are they going to blow their horn, and, you know, and I even hate to admit, I have been in California so long and had gotten so adjusted to their not speaking and not being bothered with each other too much, to where when I went home to visit, sitting outside, I came to a point where, Lord, please don't let nobody else speak. You know, don't let another person wait. It's like, 'cause my hand was constantly going up, or, you know, you're constantly speaking, and it's like, it's not something that I had just, you know, I had gotten accustomed to this madness in California. But I know, and I know from living, that being in, with intention, being kind to people is something that blesses their lives every day. And it's a principle, a spiritual law of love. I call all of these spiritual laws of love because these are the kinds of principles that literally change people's lives. And not only that, but it changes our lives first. To be kind to somebody that is not kind to you. Be kind to somebody that is rude to you. And here I'm going to go back to an example of here with me. My spiritual mother, her life, I'm going to give you a little bit of her life. Her life was she was born and her mother died when she was born. And then her father was bitter against her, so he would whip her. And the deacon and his wife would babysit her. But one day, because he whipped her, because she peed in the bed. This is her story. She peed in the bed, and the deacon and his wife went to the house. She says she just remembered him pulling up in the car. Her dad was sitting, and listen, she come from Oklahoma back in the Wall Street days. Okay, she was a little girl. She don't remember seeing poor black people at the level that I remembered. And she didn't, like, Martin Luther King is not in a part of her deep memory like it would have been. Because in the part of the time she's in, the town she lived in, black folks owned everything. So she, the deacon and his wife took her from the dad, and they raised her in the church. So everything she do now from her childhood is from the church. She played the piano, she taught, she learned the word, and kindness and the word of God was something that was always embedded in her. And she knew where, and she memorized every scripture. She don't really memorize them now, but at one point she did and knew where it was. So now, with her disposition being the way it is, she's always blessed, she's always happy, no matter what. She doesn't, even though she don't know what she's doing, she's still in a good disposition, right? So now, I screamed at her for something. I can't remember what it was. But whatever it was, I was angry at her because she was working my nerves of what it was. And when I screamed at her, she say, well, God blessed you for your kindness. And when she said that to me, I just had to take a deep breath. And she always, that's how she responds when I get mad. So it don't even matter. But it makes me laugh because that is the example that God wants us to give. Even when people are offensive to us, he wants us to be kind. And that is something that's a challenge for everybody. It is hard to let folks talk to you crazy, disrespect you, look over you, act like you're not even there when you're the one that's making it all happen all the time. You know, and you still have to be kind, loving, bless them that curse you, who despitefully use you, you know, who say all the manner of things about you. Whatever it is our job to bless our enemy, or it may not even be enemy. For a lot of people, well, I don't even know. I don't understand this people not liking you and not knowing you. But I guess, you know, hey, Wendy Williams had to grow on me. When I first seen her, I was like, who in the world is this woman? Is she representing the women in America? You know, but as she transformed, I transformed with her. And I say, hey, that sister's all that. She got a business going, her clothing line, because the clothes when she came on in the beginning, I'm like, okay. But that was my opinion, you know. And anyway, so, you know, some people we have to grow on them or they have to grow on us in order for us to really like them. But there are people who set people as enemies and they've never even met them and they'll work to tear them down because they feel threatened by them. And that kind of thing. And you still have to be kind to those people. You still have to practice kindness in the middle of the madness when people are coming against you. You still have to be kind. And that's not something easy to do, to be kind when people are treating you bad and talking to you crazy and looking at you cross-eyed. And you know that's the truth now. So anyway, kindness is one that is crucial. Now, for me, forgiveness is the most major spiritual law for me because it's something that now I walk in and it's a part of my life, just automatic forgiveness for everybody, for everything. I do fight spiritual warfare where there are some demonic forces that I am in the process of breaking down and destroying that I have no mercy on. And those who are operating in those forces have to suffer because of it. But it's not me coming against them personally. It's just the forces that they're operating in. And yes, witchcraft and sorcery and all of those things are real. And those of you who have not read the book of Enoch, for me, let me give you what it says about it. It says that the fallen angels the came here and the whatever they were, some of them spirits, came here, angels, and made it with the women here. Okay, our Bible says that too. It's not nothing that's new. That's how we get the giants and the da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sure that's how we got Titan and Hercules and all of those stories who they said were myths, but now in the recent, maybe last 10 years, are saying those were true stories that, you know, that it came from those times, though. But anyway, according to that book, the book of Enoch, all of those things were taught to the people before its time. According to the book of Enoch, those kinds of teachings were for today's time. That was for Revelation time. And we weren't supposed to get it in that early time. God had it intended, and they did that. A lot of things that we weren't supposed to get, like the making of weapons and all of those things they taught us, according to the book of Enoch. Okay, so anyway, those, we'll explore some of that in the future. I don't want to get off of what we're talking about because forgiveness is where we have to forget about hurt, forget about pain, or release it. You know, when they say forgive and forget, you can't ever forget it, but you can release it to a point to where it doesn't, you don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? When it says forget it, like it's in your mind, it's always going to be there. But you can release it, release the hurt, release the pain, and I challenge you to release it immediately, regardless of what it is, because when you hold on to it, it fesses up in your body, it fesses up, and a lot of times unforgiveness will cause you more heartache, more pain, more suffering than it's causing the people who you are actually concerned or worried about or not forgiving. And remember, more than anything, those people who you are not forgiving more than likely are not thinking about you. You are not a thought in their mind. You are not a thought in their processes of life, and they have no intentions of even writing your name down somewhere else so they can remember to think about you later. You know, it's not coming. The spiritual principles of life as it relates to forgiveness is something that we need to be practicing every day, and we start with self. I did a CD back in 2007. I think I actually printed it in 2010, sometime like that. But it was teaching on these spiritual laws. And one thing I said about forgiving yourself is you have to forgive yourself first. And the reason, the things you had to forgive is to forgive yourself for putting up with the bull crap that you let yourself put up with. Okay, because it was you that let yourself put up with that madness. Then you have to not only forgive yourself for putting up with it, but forgive yourself for allowing it in the first place. You know, then you have to forgive yourself. It's just so many. I'm sure anybody can sit down and think of about 10 things that they need to forgive themselves for as it relates to one particular situation. You know, we all have mess ups, misunderstandings, things that we fall short on, but in nothing is the all to the end of your world. Once you forgive yourself, then you can forgive others. And when you forgive others, that's a done wrap. Can't nobody hold you back. Can't nobody hold you down, because then your enemy do not have your mind time. Your mind time is essential. Remember, I started with the transformation of your mind. That is so important in this process of living life. God is in control of every aspect of life and the processes of living life itself. It is so essential to know that in everything you do. So when you forgive, it helps you more than anything through the processes of life. So forgive yourself, forgive your mama, forgive your children, forgive your daddy, forgive your uncle, forgive your everybody that did you wrong, everybody, because I'm telling you, it will help you. And your heart will love you for it, honey. Your heart will love you for it, your body will love you for it, and all of that stuff. And inspire yourself more than anything to learn more about forgiveness if you're not practicing that. And the more you forgive, the more you'll be able to forgive. And remember, because God is purposing life before the foundation of the world was laid, everything is already done and in place, so you just have to master those moments of life. Master those moments of life, because those moments, if you put it in your mind that they've already taken place, you got to be, because that's the way I am. I don't let things bother me, because I believe it's all already done, you know, and it is already done. You know, certain things we have to take physical actions. Fate without works is dead, and certain things in certain areas as far as it relates to our passions we have to do. But God is he got this thing too down, too straightened out. It's too good, you know. So he definitely knows. So everything else is a part of the growth process, a part of the training process, a part of the testing process. All of these spiritual principles are a part of the processes of life, and we just need to apply them to our lives so we can master life. This is a way of mastering life. Forgiveness. I touched on forgiveness. Did I finish? Kind of got mixed up. Wait a minute. And that's because, no, I don't have nothing written down. I just came on here and I started talking, because life is ministry. Life is ministry for me, and it's also ministry for you. There's nothing that I've done. I know there are people out there that have witnessed me touch people and people get healed and all of these things have happened. It's one of the miraculous works that God has done or whatever. I know personally what I do on a daily basis and how I live my life on a daily basis. And personally, I don't think if I was a Christian holy roller, somebody like that, I wouldn't be trying to think that God would be using me the way he does. And if I was God, I would not be using myself at the level that he uses me if I was the one to choose myself. Because I'm somebody that am a little bit untraditional because of the way God, and it all goes back to my childhood. I'll break all of that down to you in another day or whatever. But I just know that God does what he wants to do with whoever he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, and it ain't got nothing to do with your flesh. People think, oh, God ain't going to use you. Y'all, and, but God steady be using folks. You may be wondering, saints be sitting around wondering, I don't know how they, oh, my foot almost slipped when I seen the word, something about the wicked or whatever. They want to apply that to everybody that's being blessed that don't live the way they think they should be living. And that's what that is. I've recognized it, realized it, and watched it happen too many occasions in life, you know. So I don't want to, you know, harp on nobody else, but I love God's people, and I don't want to put down the church or anything like that because God say we are the church. I think that's one of the problems. People don't realize that we are the church. We are the church. The church is us. So if we don't recognize that the church is us and we are the church, then we're going to be in bad shape. You know, what is it when just like the body, the church body and a regular body, if you break your toenail, you'll stump your toe, your whole body, if your pinky finger is hurting or your wrist is hurting, you can't function. You can't even function. Don't say you got a headache. Oh, honey, the body ain't getting nothing done. You ain't washing dishes. You ain't doing nothing. You know, so that's very important to know that when the body is hurting, we all are hurting. So, therefore, if we are the church as the body and people, not a building, if we are the body of Christ and they got homeless folks out there suffering, the veterans are suffering, and we're all the body as one. You know, I don't even want to say the name of my church, but the church I go to, they have so many homeless, you know, that would be around all the time. And we had nothing in place to actually service them, you know. And so I don't think the body of Christ is actually doing what we should be doing as a body to take care of God's people. We want to wait till the government do their part and the next one do their part or whoever do whatever they're going to do. But they're not really, anyway, I don't want to talk about, let me stop talking about people because this is what I did, right? As 5 years old, I got obsessed with the Word of God and everything that it said to do, I started doing, especially the things that Jesus did. Now, my friends back home where I come from in Louisiana, they tell me when I was younger, and I do remember some of this because I was so young, but I was fast too. See, that's the thing. The way God had me come up, he had me come up in the church preaching, teaching, walking the street, preaching the word out there with the people up and down the street and ministering everywhere and doing all of this stuff. But at the same time, when ain't nobody was looking, I was doing a little bit of everything. There was not an experience that I didn't have as a child that, you know, stuff that children shouldn't be experiencing. I was experiencing, but at the same time, working at a level in ministry at 10 years old that was turning stuff upside down. Folks was falling. I was 8 years old, and folks would scream and holler if I opened up my mouth. You know, my mama, I remember her taking me to church over in Bridge City and somebody getting mad with her because somebody else's makeup got on her thing because they shouted or something. You know, but from a childhood, I was always I was always in the body of Christ, so I'm one of them, y'all. But I got obsessed with doing the will of Christ, living a Christ-conscious life. So therefore, I fed the hungry, I fed the needy. You visit them in the prisons. You do my spiritual mother's mom, Smoot, back in. I know everybody remember her back in Avondale. That lady right there was always in somebody's prison, okay, and feeding the homeless and cooking the best of. They would get pot roast and crawfish bits. The homeless. You know, she always felt like the homeless deserved better, and we as Christians should give them the best. And so I believe that's what God wants us to do in our lives and live the Christ-conscious life that takes care of other people, serve other people. That's something that I do every day. Life is ministry. I've said that many times. Life is ministry. Period. If your life, you don't consider your life to be a ministry, then you are falling short somewhere. Get your mind out of you and your thoughts about what you need, what you want, how you going to do, because I'm going to tell you this. Now, I've told many people, I have never had a job where I had to go and work a 9-to-5 job that I had to punch somebody's clock in, you know, and God will give you a life if you serve him. He will take care of everything else. There's nothing, and you learn these spiritual principles and apply them to your life, there's not anything that you will not be able to do, period. There's not a thing that you will be able to, won't be able to do nothing, nada. Anyway, another spiritual principle, I have to think of one because I don't have it up in my thing and I've got so much going on. Truth. Spiritual principle of truth. Now, remember, God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth, right? I believe that truth is a part of the DNA of God. You cannot get around it. God ain't about to endorse your, well, no, I was about to say God ain't going to endorse your lie, but let me tell you something. I have seen some times in them scriptures where God done endorsed some lies because you don't want God, he has a way of working, a way of making things happen that he needs to have happen. So therefore, there is a time and a place under the sun for everything. You know what I'm saying? But remember, God don't like liars. So if you have a tendency to lie about anything for any reason, and I'm going to tell you now, right now, y'all, ain't nothing in this world that I care about, not nothing in this world that I'm going to lie about it, okay? I don't care what you think about me, how you feel about me, what you say. Now, if I'm not going to speak the truth, I'm not going to say nothing. So if you're asking me a question and I don't respond or I go off with another conversation, then you put your little two and two together. But I ain't got time to lie to you for no reason, whatever. No, we going to keep it real because guess what? My truth for my life is my truth, you know, and I'm not, and hey, and if it's your truth, and I'm not going to blast your truth out there to the world. Wait a minute. I'm telling you now, let me pull that back, because I think God is dealing with me on some truths of people's that I'm going to have to speak out on, but they're only relating to what we would call deep state activities. You know what I'm saying? There are certain people in our world system that are not healthy for the body, you know, and so in those cases, I'll have to do them on a different platform, so y'all ain't got to worry about that conversation in here. We're just going to talk about truth and being true to yourself. Being true to yourself meaning not putting other people's emotions before yours, because you'll be an emotional wreck trying to please somebody else's emotions. So you have to speak truth to yourself concerning your emotional state of mind. And don't walk in denial. A lot of people won't walk in truth. They'll walk in denial first because they want things to be a certain way. And the reality in no way shows that to be true. But yet we want it to be true, so we You know, I understand it, when we work with our faith is a whole nother thing. But there are certain things in life that, regardless of your faith, you know, if you really, really analyze the situation, that's not possible for you because God haven't put whatever is needed in you to do that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to become a lawyer next week and be able to go and represent if you don't have no skills, no, and it takes some time. You can do it. Don't get me wrong. I had a girlfriend call me crying, and, honey, I told her, boo, we spent the night on the phone, and I asked her a whole bunch of questions. I wrote some stuff down, drew some pictures, laid some stuff out, took pictures of it, and sent it to her to guide her through that whole thing. And, honey, she did represent herself and won the case, okay? So you can do it if you know how. You have to be a researcher. You have to have a little savviness going on about yourself. So in order to do that, yes, you can, but, you know, I just trust God. Just trust God as it relates to your life and your truth. Don't live a lie. Don't be lying. Just walk in truth, because truth is the only way that you're going to survive. It's the only way to go, you know. And I realize my time is going out, so I need to go into another one. I want to endure. Endurance. The spiritual law of endurance, it can be something. Sometimes we have to endure some stuff, like we are enduring this COVID-19. This COVID-19 has us enduring some stuff, okay? And how we go about enduring it is the challenge. Do we allow it to affect us positively, negatively, or not at all? You know, because you really have a choice, you know, of how you're going to endure whatever it is that you endure. So I personally recommend that, as it relates to the things that we endure in life, to take things from a lighter perspective. Because when we put our thoughts into a whole lot of heavy things as it relates to the things that we have endured, that's when, and in this case, let me just put it to the COVID-19 right now, because that's what we're enduring right now, right? Okay, enduring this COVID-19, the more you sit and watch television on every report, everything that they're saying, everybody's da-da-da-da, it's COVID, it's COVID, it's COVID, it's COVID, and then the media is going to tell you, people are stressing from COVID. People are depressed from COVID. People are doing this or doing that or whatever the media tells you, and it's all negative, negative, negative. Then that tends to pull you down on your energy and ability to endure from a positive standpoint. So remember, don't allow yourself to go deep into anything as it relates to your enduring. Keep it very, 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 very light. Now, since I have not finished all of these principles, and you see my time has wrapped up, and I've got to go, okay? My time is wrapping up, and I got to go. But we will cover the rest of these spiritual principles next month. Remember, I'm on every first Sunday right here on eWater Radio. Don't forget, my Cash App is I know, I'm finally doing this Cash App thing, right? Queen Teresa King, Teresa with an H, Queen Teresa King. Go and bless me. Everything that I get, my whole life is ministry. I dare you to think anything else. Everything that I get goes back into God's work and my life. I don't live lavish, don't need to. I'm going to have to, though, eventually, if I keep it up with these strategies of financial stuff I'm going to show y'all. So anyway, I love you very, very much.
you know.